Croeso I Just a Talkin'. Welcome to Just a Ticket, the Transport for Wales podcast. On today's podcast, we're going to be having a chat about insights, and that's the way of learning and understanding each other at TFW. I'm really pleased today to be joined by
Mark Hector
and also
Natalie Hill.
Welcome both to the podcast. Great to have you on. Mark, to kick us off, just tell us a little bit about your role at TFW.
Yeah, so I'm training and development manager. So my role is to deliver development to our leadership population, but also privileged to do people like early talents, so those aspiring to be leaders, and also getting to design and create materials that we deliver across Transport for Wales.
Good. And yourself, Natalie?
So working closely with Mark as well. So I'm a training and development advisor. So working on the leadership programs and all things insights related.
And that takes us directly onto insights. Mark, what is insights?
Insights is I suppose it's the key to your soul. So it's about understanding who you are as an individual. So it's a tool, it's a mechanism, and it's built off a multitude of theories, and it gets people to understand who they are. So how they think, how they feel, how they behave, how they feel in different environments, how they engage with other people. And it's built off a metric. So it's a metrics of science that's gone back for 30, 40, 50, 60 years plus, where you've got individuals that have worked hard to understand how the brain works, how to deal with different situations, and even to a point now where we're looking at things like stress. So how a person behaves when they're comfortable and the difference when they're under a lot of pressure. So I'd say it's something like that.
And what are we doing? How are we using insights and how does it work? And I know we use the different colors to understand different sort of personality types. So for someone who wouldn't understand what it is, how do you sort of categorize and how does that work, you know, in a simplistic level?
Simplistic level, it's a questionnaire. It's a questionnaire that evaluates your thinking and feeling, but people don't understand. It's not just about answers to the questions. It's the behaviors as you're doing that. And the system is really clever. So it's picking up on an algorithm of behaviors. So how long you take to answer questions and the way that you deal with situations and how you mark yourself. And then you get an output and that will give a written profile. And we always say that the profile is literally like, again, I said, it's the door to your soul, but you're reading this like a storybook of your life. But what that does, it starts breaking it down into categories. So, you know, what motivates you, how best to manage you, how to communicate, but also what not to do, your weaknesses. And it's just there in front of you. So that's what we've got. And that's what we distribute to people. And then part of that thinking is we incorporate that into our training materials. So we think about if we've got all these different variations of people, we need to bring that to life in every material that we deliver. So that's what we've got at the moment.
And tell us a little bit more about the sort of categories, Natalie. I know they go into four different colours. It's a lot broader than that. But tell us a little bit, you know, what do they represent?
So essentially it's four colours and it's split into, so you've got fiery red. So it's an extroverted speak to think, but based on logic. So they use words to describe the fiery red preference, such as determined, direct, competitive. Trying to think of another word, to be honest, Mark.
Straight to the point.
Yeah,
that's what they are.
Yeah, direct. And then you've got sunshine yellow. So it's extroverted, speak to think, but based on feelings. So they're very creative, personable, outgoing, sociable. And then you move to the left-hand side then of this wheel with the introverted energy of the earth green. So the think to speak. So they're very caring. They're very patient. The type of person that wears their heart on their sleeve. We associate it with high emotional intelligence is probably the easiest way to describe it. They can just pick up on people without even realizing that they're doing it as well. They can just sense a room. It's amazing, but scary at the same time. And then you've got a cool blue. So it's introverted think to speak, but based on logic. So they're the planners of the group. They're very meticulous, detailed. They have to know all the information. They won't be satisfied until they have all the data, everything they need in front of them before they give you an answer, a conclusion on anything. So that's pretty much the gist of it.
So if I was to do the test, which I actually have, you'd sit me down, I'd do the questionnaire. From the questionnaire, that gets analysed. And then I receive a paper explaining where my personality sits within them four colours, but also how my personality would react in different situations, you know, under stress, with different people. And each and every person in TFW is going to get that sort of understanding of themselves. That's the idea.
Yeah. So the way that it works is we've got different levels. So we have the opportunity to be able to do profiles. So you have a profile, like I said, that's a written one. But we've also got other variations of this. So we use another company that's called Jigsaw, which is off exactly the same metrics where we actually do team events. So as opposed to having, you know, just a one-on-one discussion, what you can actually do is have your whole team. And then they get to do a test. It's slightly different. So it's not so much a questionnaire. It's actually a jigsaw that they do, but the outputs are exactly the same. We recently done this for as part of our public sector work with the NHS. So we got them to do their jigsaw. And what you get then is an opportunity to discuss as a team where you all come out, but you're looking at what we would call a team will. So you'll understand how your team works. And that's where you have those real deep-rooted discussions. And that's where you get the aha moments where people are like, oh, that's the reason why, you know, you annoy me, or I find this difficult, or this piece of work can be tricky for me, where others are excited by it. And I think that's where you start seeing the momentum in discussion.
Yeah. So then on that leads us on to, if I was to ask you, you know, why are we doing this? What are the benefits? What are the main benefits of doing this across TFW?
I think the main thing for me is to ask the question, why wouldn't you do it? So whenever I think about that, because we have a manual of how to fix a train, you know, we have a manual and a process of doing things, but we don't have anything people-led. And I'm not saying that people are like a book that you can read, but science is in such a position now where we can actually get an understanding of better ways of treating people. And at the moment, we have to deal with lived experience. So someone, for example, might lead with, let's say, a RET, and they'll say, this is the way to lead people. Says who? Says that lived experience, that one way of thinking. But what we're trying to do now is open up that part to say, well, other people prefer it in a different way. And here's the proof and here's the science, but also here's the toolkit. So now, as opposed to people fearing something like emotional responses or creative responses, they can prepare themselves better. And also we can start looking at some of our process and procedures and ask ourselves, are we delivering it in the right way? I see people just send an email out and I think, well, not everyone reads their email, or they're so in tune with that. They're skim reading. So what's your alternative? And the frustration thing for us is when people go, but I sent an email. Yeah, but that's your way of delivering a message. That's your way of communicating. So what's your plan B? And it's sort of giving people the opportunity to not worry so much about that, because you have a profile or you have information that will literally articulate exactly how to do that. Mm. And it's what we call flexing.
So it's almost understanding each other at a deeper level, and then and then using that understanding to communicate with each other in a better way.
Yeah, absolutely that.
So Natalie, yeah, we'd also use in this program now, not just to get the profiles of each other, but to help with sort of leadership training. So where are we, you know, in our sort of delivery of that?
So we're in our second year of the leadership program that we call Leading With at TFW. So the first year essentially was our pilot of how we were running it, and it went really well. We received really positive feedback about it, and people are saying things like, that they're flexing the certain behaviors or dialing up or dialing down a color preference, and they're finding the impact in the team is really positive as well. So it's changing the way that they think about how they lead, which is exactly what we want really. And also recognizing that it's okay to be themselves as well, that they don't need to fake a behavior, but they can dial up and dial down when they need to. But yeah, it's going really well. We're starting to develop a bit more into our leadership program as well. So we're adding stuff to it. So they've got something called Self-Aware Leader, which is a transformational leadership piece where it's focused on leadership behaviors. So it's the next step of the profile where it's only about leadership. So we're really excited to start that. And our pilot is in July.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we're training our leaders to become a lot more self-reflective in how they lead their teams, how they lead the organization.
Yeah, but it ain't easy. So we're fully aware of that. And it's not about, it's a change overnight. So a lot of people think, you know, with insights we'll turn up on a day and suddenly, you know, oh, I can flex here, there and everywhere. You're talking about psychology. You're talking about a lived experience that's programmed your brain to go, this is the way we do business. And what Natalie and myself and the team are trying to do, we've got to unpick that. Because I've got to come to someone like yourself now, and you know, we've done multiple conversations where you do things a certain way, and I've got to go, that's great, but here's 20,000 other ways that you need to be aware of, because you're going to have people in your team that do it in a completely different way. So the program was built around, okay, how am I going to get someone to understand this? So when we're even writing the program, we have to deliver it in a way that constitutes all these color preferences. So we got to think even of the activities that we do. It's no longer just getting, I think, you know, years ago, presentations, 90 slides, information on there, someone presenting, next, done. That's not going to work, because we're now introducing insights into the thinking. So we have to be that role model as well. So that's the tricky part. And I think, like Nat's saying, is the first year was amazing. So that pilot got us to understand, look, we need to make some tweaks here, because even our facilitation, it wasn't quite hitting the mark. Whereas now we're in this position where we're now looking at this transformational leadership, this year two of insights, where we're pushing the mark to the point of strategical awareness of color profiles, where we now have a whole map that says, in this business area, we have these leading preferences. How are we dealing with that? And you'll be surprised. I think a lot of people assume it's in one area, especially quite direct, but it's actually not. We've got more people emotionally aware than we've ever had before, but we have a business model that's quite direct. And it's like, yeah, so you're going to have to find a way to soften that message to be able to really connect with those who are working frontline day to day, who are very emotionally aware about, you know, the customers and the people around. That's what the program's trying to do, getting an understanding with that.
So is there, once we get an awareness of different personalities across the organization, are we in a place there to say certain personalities are better suited for certain roles?
Okay, so honestly, if I'm talking about that, we're not mature enough for that yet. I think, yes, the end goal, you know, we talk about a lot, myself and Natalie talk about that a lot. Can we be in a position where when we're recruiting people that we can look at insights? And we have tried that. But I think you're on a borderline there, because let's say, for example, what we would say is someone that leads blue would be someone who thinks logically. You could argue that that could be engineer level. So you're thinking about in fleet, you've got someone who's logical, thinking about how to, you know, get a process from start to finish and tick those boxes. But what you're then doing is saying, I'm only going to hire someone who leads blue within that business area. And it's like, well, actually, you've got to be really clever, because your questioning could be for someone who's quite creative, who has over time learned to develop that logical awareness. So you've got a position, a recruitment question that could bring to life someone that leads what we would call yellow blue. That's better in a way, because you've got someone that's not only logic, but they're creative with it. But I don't think we're quite there yet. I think at the moment, it's just getting people comfortable in their own skin. We have a lot of people that fake color preferences because they're in an environment where they feel as though they have to be someone different because it's dictated in one way. So we're dealing with that first. I think once we've got people going, oh, it's okay to be, you know, a leading green preference or a leading red, it's okay to be that, then we can start looking at that next step.
Yeah, so we've had a good chat about, you know, what insights is, how we're implementing across the business. Mark, give us a few examples or maybe just one example of how someone who's had the training, how it could benefit them.
So a massive one for us. So the metrics that is built off, Natalie was saying earlier about, you've got people that we would say think to speak or introverted or speak to think, that just deal with things on the fly. And we've had stories of individuals who are more of our thinkers that are in an environment, let's say a meeting, and they're positioned in such a way that there's what, 30 people in a room. And we've had individuals that feel uncomfortable with that, but because it's dictated by someone who is more, you know, the speak to think, they're happy with large environments, they socialize in that way as a first preference, you're leaving those who are more thinkers in what we call fight or flight mode. So what we've had is individuals where they've learned to be able to challenge that thinking and ask the questions, why am I in this meeting? And I know that's something that Marie Daly was really keen with when we were, you know, early doors talking about some of these behaviors is, you know, am I the right person in this room, or is the environment fit for me? So what we've got is those who are more thinkers coming to life and actually challenging the thinking through insights. By going, look, we've got a science tool that we're agreeing as part of the operating model through leading with. I'm going to now challenge the way that I do business because it says here that, you know, don't communicate me in large audiences about certain topics. Be aware of, you know, my emotions when you're asking questions. That to me is massive wins, and it's a confidence boost. And to be able to even see that with certain individuals when they're even in training environments, they start the course and they're not saying anything. Come day three, they're more comfortable. And that was amazing. And one of the recent ones I also had with the NHS again was a, you know, an individual that came to me at the very start and said, you know, I don't like stuff like this. It was really open on us, pulled me to one side and said, you know, I absolutely despise large audiences. This is really uncomfortable. And I was trying to say, look, don't worry about it. But that person has clearly spent years being told the same thing, but knows that he's suddenly going to do these weird icebreakers and everyone's going to feel uncomfortable and so on and so forth. By the first break, she came over and said, I've never felt so comfortable, because straight away we've ensured that everyone, you know, speak if you want to speak, think if you want to think. I'm not going to dictate your way of doing business. So there's one of a thousand examples that we can give you, but I'm sure Natalie's got some as well.
I think one thing I've noticed well, Natalie, is in the last 12 months, there's a lot more people now within TFW using the color coding around their profile picture on things like Teams. So that's, you know, tell us a little bit about that. It sort of gives people an idea of what sort of personality they are before they sort of started interacting with them, I suppose.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So we've encouraged people, again, we never force anything. So like in meetings and stuff, that we won't force anyone to speak. We want them to feel comfortable doing so. So with the profile picture, there's a template where you can put around your photo on Teams so that people are aware of your color preferences when you join the call, for example. So if there are a lot more introverted think to speak energies in the room, it's about being reflective and not expecting an answer from them straight away. Unless they do have an answer in their head, of course, but it's taking that time to go away and reflect on it. So if you are going into a meeting where you're finding those color energies, it's saying things like, does anybody want to use the chat bar? Does anybody want to come to me after with some kind of suggestions? Maybe not in a big open group. If you want to message me privately, or the cool blue energies potentially needing to go away and finding more information, things like that. So it's giving the chance for all the color energies of how they feel comfortable to say. So like the extroverted energies probably will feel more comfortable in that room, but this giving the introverted ones a chance to essentially reflect and not feel like as if they don't contribute, then that looks bad, or I don't have anything to say, or the moment's gone. Little things like that we hear a lot in coaching, of things that they're concerned about because they didn't speak straight away.
It's about being adaptable to staff really, and their needs and their personalities.
Yeah, and it's the same with so your more direct energy, so the fiery red, for example, if they're asking you a direct question, it's almost going, oh, okay, I know why, because they lead that way. So I'm just going to give them the answer. I'm not going to take it personally or think, oh, what's wrong? What's happening? They just essentially want the answer to the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a massive thing that people don't realize with this, because, you know, me, myself, Natalie, Claire, Lockyer, Gemma as well, you know, we're doing these day in, day out. So we're doing one-to-one coaching sessions. We did over like 300, 400, 500, 600 people, you know, throughout the organization. So we're hearing this all the time. So when we get one individual that says, well, no, you're wrong, We have to argue in the way, based off what our data is suggesting this from, you know, let's use 600 internals that we've done this with, plus even hundreds more with Jigsaw that are saying these same stories, but they're saying it in a way now that finally I can say this without feeling awkward. So for those that are leading with that fiery red, they're always being told that they're rude. And we have to challenge that, go, are they rude or are they just direct? Same with someone that leads with that more of the earth green. It's, are they quiet and shy? No, they're not. They're emotionally aware. They're in their own heads. They're thinking more powerfully than those who are fiery red. So we've got to find a way to join the two together as an example. But yeah, that's the types of things that we talk about on a daily basis.
And what would you say to someone in the organization that's not yet to do the Insights program, or someone thinking about, you know, taking part in it, what would be your advice to them?
I'd say that be yourself. Don't answer a question like a CV. This isn't a work tool, to make it very clear. This is a people tool. So again, we've celebrated this with external bodies we've delivered to. I do this externally with individuals, plus we're doing it in Transport for Wales. We talk about this from films that we've watched, from TV series. It's not a test of trying to see whether you're capable of doing something. It's getting others to understand things that potentially you'd never talk about, you know, and we're at a point now where we're pushing Insights further than Insights themselves. So we have a good relationship with them, and even how that we have associated the graphs to theories and recognized training materials, we're rebuilding them. We're taking something that people have used for 20, 30 years, and myself and Nat are going, nope, that doesn't fit with insights. We're going to break that down and rebuild it. And then delivering it to people who've used that old school mechanism in a slightly new way now, and they're seeing the reasons why. So the more people can just be honest, there is no right area within this color preference wheel. It's about just being comfortable in your own skin. So just answer the questions, be you. I think that's a good bit.
And is there something around it as well? You know, we've done different training courses to get the mark, and it's the categorizing and, you know, talking about the different aspects of the personality. But we all know that I think they know more about the stars in the sky than people's brains. So it's really complex. So you're not going to be categorized one way or the other. It's more of just being self-reflective and understanding yourself.
Well, you're all of the colors. So I think that's something that to make very clear, we're talking like you only lead with one, but we would say leading preferences. The bit that people don't realize is that you're one of everything. It's just you go about it in a different journey. So the combinations can be 20, 30,000. And it's only 80% and above accurate. That 20% is therapy driven. So unless I'm sitting you in a sofa and slapping you about a bit to get information from you, that's not what we're doing. It's a coaching tool where we can get you to understand that journey. And you're right, there is going to be some discrepancies in there, but that's the learning piece. You know, perfection doesn't exist. It cannot exist because brains are built to learn. So we're constantly having to reestablish our thinking because of those changes. So I think you're right in a way to say to individuals is that just approach it as something that on the flesh, it's going to be shock value. This is who you are. But what that's going to do is progress even further. The more data we can get, the more that we can change the way we do learning, which is going to influence our next leaders. Mm. We work with early talent. Natalie's doing a lot of work with the grad program at the moment to rebuild that and get that to look a completely new way. So even people coming through the door, and it's going to help with that.
I think for a graduate to have this sort of understanding of themselves as you enter the vocational space, it's such a, I wish I had a tool like this when I was that age.
Yeah. And I think what I like about Insights is that it celebrates who you are. So it's trying to say, why don't you be your true authentic self at work? We're celebrating that. You don't have to be a set way, like what Mark was saying, that, you know, this color preference is the way that you've got to be a leader. We're saying, no, be you and celebrate you, and then you can develop those skills to dial up or dial down, whatever it might be. But yeah, for the early talent people coming in, having this tool, they absolutely love it. And they think as well, they're almost trying to discover themselves at the same time. So to have this to help to go, oh, okay, that's why I might think that way first. And like what Mark was saying, that they go through a journey. So essentially, it depends on what flow that you go in with your color preferences, but you can use all of them, but it's your first line of thinking. That's who you are. And then you flex and adapt.
It does challenge sort of old school status quo thinking as well, especially in sort of corporate style environments, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. We might hear things like, so the earth green preference is obviously is driven by feelings, also sunshine yellow as well, but the feelings from the perspective of emotionally being aware and just feeling the room is the easiest way to describe it, where some people who have that as a leading preference almost see it as a negative, that that's not the right way to think, or I'm not going to get far, I shouldn't tell people about that. But why not? Why can't you say to somebody, I'm an emotionally aware leader, I am listening to you, I understand, and this is what impacts me the most, is seeing you develop, because that's what it is. The Earth Green is always about team development. That's what their goal is, and that's what they thrive on.
I think on a global scale, we're seeing more of them leaders come to the sort of forefront now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and exactly what Nat's saying there, we've got to be more aware of this, because I mean, we're talking insights on a real light level. We're having deeper conversations. So when I'm using the term strategically aware, I'm being serious with that. You know, we can show you data that shows a majority of people in that earth green energy across the organization. But what we're also starting to see is that the higher up you go, the more senior a person becomes, there's this emphasis of red, which is fantastic because in a relationship, opposites attract, but equally they annoy the hell out of each other. So it's like, how do you create an environment where you're not making decisions that impact the opposite type? But equally, we've got to look at it from the future is more yellow. So that's more creative. And people, you know, when you look at journey of leadership, it's gone through these stages and we're at a stage where people are more emotionally aware. The next step is going to be creative, which means that's going to put pressure on those logical that go, well, why would you want to change? What's the point? This is working. But now you've got these different sunshine yellow energies are going, yeah, but we could do this so much better. So it's about trying to find these, you're meant to annoy people. That's where the learning comes from. But people take that such to heart. And then suddenly you create these tribes of color preferences. And we're like, what are you doing? Have an open discussion and be more appreciative. So I think we can start doing that.
And it almost allows people to understand this isn't personal.
Yeah. But the profile is personal. That's the problem. So it is a robot trying to be human. And even some of the training that we deliver, we have to be brutal because it's honesty. And there's no point us trying to fluff it up and say that someone who leads blue is not going to be OCD to an extent where they want everything perfect, because that's how they do business. But they also give off what we call creepy vibes, because yes, they're more thinking energies, but there's no emotions there. So they'll have a stone-faced look when they're in the zone. What you can't do is take that personally. And then I see people say things like, is everything okay? You look mad. And now someone has to justify their own face. And you see someone with a thinking preference suddenly on the panic mode, which causes stress and those types of behaviors, because they've had to justify who they are, but they're naturally an observer. It's just there's no emotion. So they're not smiling or playing up to the room. They're focused. So there wasn't a problem until you asked the question. If you had that profile, it would have said that.
And the person would be aware of it.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, they can be.
So it's really interesting stuff to chat about. I could chat about it all day.
But
what does success look like for TFW and Insights in, let's say, 5 years' time?
Success would, I said people being comfortable in their own skin, but I think people being more open. Success for me would be that in a meeting, okay, there is an insights wheel with Velcro colors on there that as I'm walking into that room, I would put my color preference of where I lead. So the person facilitating that meeting or whatever it is, whether it's an event, a meeting, a discussion, a topic, that straight away the facilitator or the people owning that room gets to read who is in that room. And they start a meeting by bringing to life that, look, I've got more introverted energies or green energies or blue energies, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the behavior we're going to see today. So I'm going to make sure that I try flexing in X, Y, and Z. That to me is end goal in any situation. The next comms that we send, are we sending it one-way thinking? Challenge our thinking and have someone in that environment that says, well, that's going to help a blue, or that's going to help a leading yellow preference, but that's going to upset someone that leads red. That to me is success, where there's a mature thinking. We do the same. We wouldn't try fixing a train with our eyes shut. But yet with people, we forget that thinking. So I think using the manual that we've got, knowing it's not 100%, but an 80% accuracy, that to me would be success.
Do you agree in that?
Yeah, I do agree. And I was just thinking of something else as well, where that whole thinking about meetings is using the different color energy. So for example, if you had a project that you were doing, so it's not just that one way thinking potentially in the room, where you could call upon a fiery red, a sunshine yellow, a cool blue, earth green, almost having that mix of energies in the room. So you can understand different perspectives. So you can slow a process down where needed instead of just jumping straight in, or somebody brings a new idea, or somebody's thinking about the emotional impact that it could have to other people, things like this. And that we all celebrate who we are and use that as our strength, but also recognize that there will be challenges because we're all human, but not belittling each other with it as well. So just using it as the positive tool it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
success for me.
But we have already seen progression as well. So like Nat's saying there, that's sparking a load of things in my head. We've got to think that we've had color thinking for about 10 years, roughly speaking. But when we first started, and it was a story we were talking before we started this, you know, myself and a colleague, Jonathan Edwards, we were told, you know, we'd never seen this before. And we were told at this moment, it's only for a certain number of people. But we were like, no, we're going to do that. And I remember we snuck it in to an induction day. And we were reprimanded for that because John accidentally sent an email to celebrate it and used the terminologies and basically dubbed us in. But the point is that that's where we were, to a point, no, you can't use that. This is almost like a secret tool. to now we're talking about it openly and we're talking about everybody getting this. And I want people to be clear with that. We've spoke a lot about leaders, but we're talking about leaders using this in their teams, teams becoming aware of that. So we're saying the whole organization plus external public sector that influence our decision-making, they're all being made aware of this. And it's science that's forever growing. So we're continually learning from it. So it's taking all that being comfortable in your own skin, but it's pushing it even further. Don't fear it.
Yeah, so it's evolved a lot in the last 10 years and how receptive people are towards it as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, our requests for this now are through the years. So to tell people, is there going to be a wait for it? Yeah, because there's like four of us that can deliver it. And now we're back to back doing that, whether it's a program, whether that's coaching or whether it's just the discussion. But that's a good thing. Whereas years ago, we wouldn't get a single person in the room. So it has progressed massively.
Do you think that's societal as well, or that society has become more understanding and receptive towards people learning about themselves and, you know, understanding about mental health, all these different things? That it's all interconnected, really. So is that society is becoming more understanding that these things, we need to focus on these things to improve society as a whole, not just the workplace?
Yeah, I think following logic, you can look anywhere. So you look in any sector that working that logical and ticking the box and getting things done. That's worked so long. But then we had a massive shift, whether that was COVID or whether it was leaning towards people shift anyway. You look at diversity and inclusion, that's becoming more of a topic. That's all emotionally led. COVID gave an opportunity for people to take a step back. Well, they had to. They had no choice. And it's almost like resetting ourselves. But what that did, it started opening people to be more emotionally aware, becoming more vulnerable. And there were people that were better equipped with that vulnerability, where they were able to adapt better. And that brought this emotional awareness. Obviously, that was triggered by diversity and inclusion. Obviously, that started getting people to be more open and honest. But this was pushing it even further. So I think we had to change and be aware of someone's mental health. I hated it when it was topic of the day. You know, when someone says mental health week, why are you having a week? That doesn't make any sense to me. What, at the end of the week? If you say it's a week, it feels like it's a week, all that emphasis. I think we're past that now. I think the expectation now is that we're always focused on or aware of someone's emotions. So we've had to adapt to do that. Insights will do that for us. So that's going to get us to be able to know who needs what, when, and how to do it. That to me is focusing on diversity.
Yeah, great. No, I think it's all really interesting stuff. And I think it's a real good way that in TFW, people are just more than anything, it becoming self-aware of each other and self-aware of themselves and how they can interact with each other. And I've seen the benefits of it. Especially in the last 12 months, I think more people are using it and are using it to help just communications with each other. So
yeah,
thanks for coming on.
Hey, you're welcome. Are we going to do a part two?
I know.
We've got another hour.
We could keep chatting about this. Yeah, it's a really interesting podcast. But no, thanks for coming on. Perhaps the next episode, we can have someone on to chat about how they've used insights with you and see how we can expand on what we've talked about today.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Brilliant idea. Yeah.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. As always, you can join in the discussion online on social media using the hashtag TFWPod.